Yeah, 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 come and take a look at the snow. Bright white as far as your eyesight goes. Come and take a look at the fields of snow. I'll just get my coat, then we're good to go. Come and take a look at the lake. Let's have a quick skate before it gets late. Come and take a look at the frozen lake. Put your clothes on, mate, don't make that mistake.
Greetings, holiday shoppers. There are now 102 shopping days left until Christmas, and you know what that means. It means it's time for another episode of Christmas Creeps, your one-stop shop for holiday movies and TV shows all year round. My name's Joseph Wade. I'll be your host for this evening. Here with me tonight is my co-host, Mr. Bradford. Brad, what's shaking?
And then you have to imagine that I put both of my hands up to my face and made like the face.
You did the Kevin McAllister scream.
The Kevin McAllister aftershave face. That is featured on this movie poster, even though it doesn't happen in this movie.
No, it really doesn't. It's one of a litany of terrible things about tonight's feature film, Home Alone 4, Taking Back the House. But before...
Is that the subtitle, Taking Back the House?
Taking Back the House, which you would think means something to the world of the movie, but it really does not. But before we talk about that, goodness. Brad, how are you this evening?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing pretty well. Weather's finally turning. It's beautiful. It's beautiful out. And I've been enjoying that nice pre-fall, late summer, early fall weather. How about yourself?
Oh, the same. This is the first night. We're recording this on Thursday the 14th. It is the first night that it's been below 60 degrees in months. And I am so excited.
Yeah, it's supposed to get down to 55 up here tonight, and I am looking forward to that.
Absolutely. So I don't want to waste any more of your precious late summer evening than I already have to. So,
no, this is a pleasure. Let's can check. What you working with, Joseph?
I am celebrating the end of summer with one of my favorites, a Leinenkugel Summer Shandy.
Very nice.
I enjoy a light lemony beverage, especially in the evening. Brad, how about you?
I have a DC Brow, the Imperial Double IPA. Mm, very good.
Nice, nice.
Not one of my favorites out of the brewery. Okay. So, yeah. All right.
Well, there's really no beating around the bush this week, folks. There's no gimmicks. There's no gross foods to eat. There's no weird holiday news. Actually, I have one bit of Christmas creep that I actually have to talk about right now.
Yes.
Driving around today in my hometown, there are electronic billboards going up all over the place. You know, most towns are getting their electronic billboards. I saw an ad today. I don't even know what company was doing it, but it was an ad basically counting down the days to Christmas, and it said 102 days to Christmas.
That's very helpful. That's very useful for you.
Folks, we do this as a joke because we do this all year round, but like they're now officially counting down the days to Christmas as advertising in September.
What is it an ad for, if you don't mind me asking?
I do not know. Like there's a picture of it's like a cartoon of like a North Pole elf and a big Christmas tree and some Christmas ornaments on it, and it's like, you know, count, you know, 102 days until Christmas, time to get shopping, but like there's no actual company name listed or none that I could identify.
So it might just be a placeholder for the ad company.
Maybe, but even still, that's kind of insidious if you ask me.
A little bit.
Like I could see it if it was for like the, you know, the local shopping center or, you know, a Walmart or something, but no, it's
or
just
an HVAC company
or literally anything, but no, it's just a general helpful reminder that, hey, there's 102 days left until Christmas and no other holidays happen between now and then.
No. None no. that matter. None that matter to the almighty dollar, at least.
I mean, it doesn't matter that, you know, Diwali is in 59 days. It doesn't matter that Thanksgiving is in 70 days. Christmas is 102 days away. Folks,
we got our work cut out for us.
We sure do. And what better way to do that and to start preparing for the official countdown to Christmas than with the last Home Alone movie we will ever cover on this program?
Oh, no, no, no. Don't get ahead of yourself there, mister.
Look.
If Disney has taught us one thing, there is always more and it is always worse.
That is fair. However, I feel fairly confident in saying that about Home Alone, because after Home Alone and Home Alone 2, they tried it with Home Alone 3, they got a different kid and they made it a different family. And I guess it made money, but I guess it wasn't that popular. So for Home Alone 4, what happened was, this was what, 6 or 7 years later,
it's
after Home Alone 3?
By my recollection, which scans, because I remember seeing Home Alone 3 in theaters when I was a kid.
Right.
And in 2002,
but since
I was
Home Alone 4,
less of a kid.
So Home Alone 4, by the way, I guess let's just go ahead and talk about this now, was intended to be a backdoor pilot for a Home Alone TV series.
Oh, was it now?
Yes. This was produced for ABC's Wonderful World of Disney programming block. And it was a TV movie, and it was broadcast on television, and they were hoping that it would become, you know, a TV series. Of course, that never got picked up. Thank goodness.
I don't even know how that would function as a television series. Was it just supposed to be a sitcom starring the McAllister family, I guess?
Maybe.
But the whole thing that nobody's watching Home Alone for the McAllisters. They're watching them. Where they're watching it for Kevin and his sick traps. And unless they do like a monster of the week, like burglar of the week thing, where Kevin's home is getting broken to on a weekly basis, I don't see how it would work.
That's really the only way it could possibly work, right? The only other thing I can think of is like, if it was just about Kevin being the runt of the family and
well,
everything,
that, yeah.
But like, you
yeah.
know, they kind of make
a normal sitcom basically.
But in 2002,
with Kevin McAllister.
In 2002, they had that sitcom and it was called Malcolm in the Middle.
Right.
So there was no need for a Home Alone sitcom.
Well,
but where I'm going with this is after Home Alone 4, it took them 10 years to try to go back to the well in 2012 with Home Alone 5. And exactly 10 years after that for Home Sweet Home Alone. So I'm fairly confident in saying that 8 or 9 years from now, there will not be another attempt at the Home Alone. Well,
I really want some sort of talks for you, my friends.
I'm staking my claim on it right now. If we're still around in 2032 and there is a Home Alone 7, I will eat my hat.
We got to come up with some real stakes, though, actually.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. Well,
if this show is still around when the next Home Alone gets greenlit, made, and released in some form, doesn't have to be theatrical. It can be streaming. Maybe something real will happen and it's straight to video. We'll go back to DVDs again because the internet broke or something. If it gets released in some way, shape, or form, there's going to be consequences. I don't know what they are, but we got to come up with something. Because I think they'll come back to that well.
I really don't, because I feel like after Home Sweet Home Alone came and went, not a single soul talked about it since then.
Like, well, does anybody talked about Home Alone 4 or 5? Do you remember anybody caring about either of those movies?
No. So I feel fairly confident in saying that, you know, three strikes and you're out. Mm-hmm. Home Alone is done.
I want you to be right. Let's put it that way. But
right. I mean,
I'm very cynical when it comes to this.
And, you know, I know for a fact, I know Johnny Five is out there still. He's listening. He will tell us. He will come up with some kind of great consequence for me if I am wrong. So I have faith in that.
This is why we need Johnny Five back. He's a much smarter man than I. He can come up with when it comes to punishments. Yeah, I don't know. So, I think they've put out what? 4 garbage. Like, there are 2 good Home Alones, right?
Right.
And there are 4 bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see what's going to stop them from making a fifth bad one.
Only time will tell.
They're going to get Macaulay Culkin to play the dad. And I'm calling that right. I'm calling my shot.
You know, if it hasn't happened by now, though, I don't know if it will.
I don't. Yeah, I guess you're right. I don't know.
Anyway,
they might. I mean, in this counts, they might just do a straight one-to-one like reboot, just redo the first movie.
That's the one instance where I could see it happening. Like, if they just said, you know what, let's just redo all of this from scratch and start over.
And it would still count. Joseph would still need to be punished.
It would still count, and I would still need to be punished. And no amount of donating money to an animal shelter is going to get me out of whatever punishment comes my way. Unless that's exactly what it is, in which case I welcome it with open arms.
I think... If it happens, we're going to have to make up some sort of gauntlet for you, some sort of movie gauntlet for you. I think that's going to have to be your punishment. Maybe it's just you have to watch all the Home Alone movies in one sitting.
Just put six TVs next to each other and just play them all at the same time.
Oh, no. You're not getting out of it that easy, mister.
Okay.
Sequentially, one screen.
You want to make this hurt is what you're saying.
Eat a good breakfast and get an early start because you're going to be there for a while. And 12, it's going to get worse as it goes on.
12 straight hours of Home Alone. Yeah, Home Alone really, you know, I was about to say Home Alone is a steady slope, you know, from the top to the bottom. But it's really not, because I'm going to stake my position here. Home Alone 4 is the worst Home Alone.
It's a ski. Well, yeah, it's kind of like a ski jump.
It's a ski jump.
It's a ski jump is what it is.
Because I know you weren't here for Home Alone 5. We covered that years and years ago. But there is something odd and endearing about Home Alone 5. Just the sheer fact that it exists.
Yeah. By all accounts, I talked to you all about it.
Yeah.
5 is much better than 4. Or, you know, very low wall to jump over, of course.
Right, right.
I've seen all of them except for 5. And yes, this is by far the worst one. By a long shot.
Like, so, okay.
I remember we talked about 3, and I talked about how that was a big childhood disappointment.
Yeah.
And of course, Home Sweet Home Alone was not good. But then, woof, this is a bad movie.
Yeah.
Should we get into it?
Let's get into it. But I want to say just a couple more behind the scenes notes on this movie.
Yes.
This comes to us from director Rod Daniel, whose primary claim to fame is that he was the director of Teen Wolf, the 1985 Michael J. Fox werewolf movie.
Yeah.
And his last feature film was Home Alone 4. And that's only notable because this is the second time in a week where I've done a podcast where a director's main claim to fame is like an 80s comedy staple, and their final feature film is A Wonderful World of Disney TV movie.
Out of curiosity, what was the other one?
On the OST party this week, we covered Back to School, and the director of that, his last feature film was the TV movie of the sitcom Growing Pains.
Oh, God.
So, there's something in the water right now where that's kind of where my podcasting interest is, but there it is. So yeah, Home Alone 4, for this one, you know, the third one went away from the McAllister family. So for the fourth one, because I guess they were trying to turn this into a TV series, we're back to the McAllisters. Completely different cast.
Everybody's different.
Everybody. The crux of this one, though, is that Mom and Dad are now divorced.
I don't want to split hairs, but I think they're technically separated and the divorce is finalized.
They're getting divorced, right?
They're getting divorced.
Right.
Yes.
So, I mean, I want to jump ahead so much, but we might as well just get into the nuts and bolts of it, right?
Yeah. There's not a whole lot to this movie either.
No.
There's a whole lot of nothing happening in this movie.
But, like, right away, they had to pare this down a whole lot from the original, because, like, now, all of a sudden, Kevin only has 2 siblings. Where in the original movies, he had 4.
Right.
And so my first question was, what happened to Lenny and Jeff? Because all we have now are Buzz and Megan, and they're both terrible to Kevin.
Well, why do you think Why do you think their parents are splitting up? It's never been the same after the incident.
After the incident?
Sorry, that's a really dark joke. I'm sorry. Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
No, Brad, because listen, there's going to be a lot of dark jokes in this episode because this movie forces me to make a lot of weird inferences that I would have otherwise rather not make about what has gone on since Home Alone 2.
Yeah, when Kevin's watching the home movie, though, I thought we were going to have a dead dad alert on our hands for a second.
Oh, geez, yeah. Because that's how Christmas Chronicles started.
Right.
But no, Kevin's at home and he's watching the home movie of the family last Christmas. And it was a year ago that mom and dad, you know, were together. And since they've separated, right?
Yeah.
So this is like a recent development in the world of the McAllisters. And there's really no, it's very squishy, like when this is supposed to take place. Like there's no real continuity other than the McAllisters exist and the criminals also still exist. That's really it.
I mean, it definitely takes place after one, obviously.
Yes.
Because he's like, oh, I've been home alone before. And she's like, don't remind me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it is unclear whether or not it takes place after two.
Yeah.
Or if it's supposed to take place after two. But didn't two take place, isn't two like 1 year right after one?
Yeah. And then, see, here's where I get confused. Because in two, I distinctly remember Rob Schneider asking Kevin if he knew how the TV worked, and Kevin says, I'm 10 years old. TV is my life. And in this one, Kevin is 9 years old.
Yeah.
So this must just take place in like a weird pocket dimension where two never happened.
It's an alternate universe, Kevin McAllister. I mean, obviously, the kid obviously can't hold a candle to Macaulay Culkin. How can he even try?
He definitely tries. I feel
he
like
he tries, but he's a little
as
kid.
Much as a kid can study a performance. I feel like this kid watched Home Alone a bunch to try and mimic some of the stuff that Macaulay Culkin did.
Yeah, but you can't really stick that landing when that's such an iconic performance. I feel.
Right. You're just reminding people of the original at that point.
Yes.
But the other thing that I noticed watching this home movie of last Christmas was the Christmas tree in the video is noticeably shorter than a regular Christmas tree ought to be. And it directly reminds me of the tree that Kevin cuts down in the first Home Alone movie, which is like, you know, kind of pint sized, you know, as big as a kid could handle.
Right.
And what it says to me is the family was so endeared by that when they finally came home that they just started doing that as a tradition.
See, that's a cute detail.
Kind of.
If it was intentional.
If it was intentional. Not entirely sure it was.
Hmm.
If anybody out there who worked on Home Alone 4 knows that, I would love to find out. Email us at xmascreeps@gmail.com.
Yes, please. We'd love to talk to you.
Yes. But then moving forward, so mom and dad are separated. Dad is living with his new girlfriend, whose name is Natalie.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? Okay. And she lives in a huge palatial estate, much bigger than the gigantic house that the original McAllisters lived in.
Yes.
And Buzz and Megan are so vile to Kevin that he decides to go and spend Christmas with Dad.
It's yeah, yeah.
Am I skipping anything?
No, not really.
There's nothing to skip.
There's really not. It's a smart home. Everything is voice controlled. All the doors are voice controlled. Yes, of course this is going to come up again. Because of course it does.
And if you think this is like high-tech smart home stuff, no, this is still 2002 with just a remote control that people talk into and magic things happen.
If you watch like the Microsoft's like Windows ME smart home of the future that they came out with in like 1999, you're on the right track there.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
it's a very early aughts conceptualization of a smart home. Yeah. So they set that Chekhov's smart home up because you know there are going to be some japes and tricks involving
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, yes.
And then we meet Natalie, mm-hmm. And her two staff at the house, She's got a valet or a butler, and his name is
Prescott.
Yes,
he's played by Eric Avari, who I only have only ever seen him in comedies. So I was expecting him to be a little funnier than he was in this.
He was, yeah,
kind of like the he's the goofy straight man sort of character. But yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, he's playing an austere butler guy. I mean, you know, you know exactly what this character is. And then the maid
whose name is Molly.
That's right, Molly Maid.
And we don't see much of her, but she endears herself to Kevin very quickly because Prescott is very mean.
Correct.
It's very simple. Now, the thing about Natalie that I have to mention, I noticed she has red hair.
Okay.
And the mom in the original, Catherine O'Hara, had red hair. And the mom in this is blonde.
Yeah.
So, of course, all I can think is, mom stopped dyeing her hair and dad got bored.
This did get dark, huh?
And dad found a younger, hotter redhead.
The senior McAllister has a type, and apparently. Wow. Phew.
I'm sorry for having to take this into dark places, but the movie's doing this to me.
Yes.
It's not my fault that I watched Home Alone obsessively as a kid and now think about these things.
And now this is your curse.
And now this is my life.
So, thank you for that, Nugget.
I'm sorry.
That's what I'll always think about Home Alone 4 now, from now on. Not that I'll ever, hopefully ever think about it all that much.
Tell your kids about it one day.
I will. Natalie does a lot of benefits and functions. It's not really clear what she does. She's just kind of a socialite.
Right.
And so she's running like charities and benefits, and we find out that she's hosting a royal family for Christmas.
Right.
And they are coming into town, and it's a big to-do that Kevin is going to get to play with a prince. And they're going to have another charity gala with the royal family here. So that'll come into play. Hang tight. Mm-hmm. Kevin settles in to the smart house. He gets a remote. Of course he does. And then he's got a room with, you know, it's got a lot of toys. It's got a lot of rich kid toy stuff. It's got two arcade machines.
Hold Monica, the phone. Hold yeah. the phone here. Video game chat. What are we talking? What are we working chat. With here?
We got a Sega feature game, which is Monaco Grand Prix, I believe is the name of it. And then there's another one that I can't tell quite what it is, but it's like a stand up. I assume it's probably a multicade, but every time we see it. It's running like a single screen platformer that's either probably like Bubble Bobble or Snow Bros.
Yeah, my immediate assumption was that it was Pengu, but I'm pretty sure that's wrong.
Pengu's got a lot more like blocks, but this had like thin platforms and thicker platforms.
Right. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Snow Bros is a good guess, but just purely based on like this is a Christmas movie.
Oh, I don't think they thought that into it, but maybe they had a multicade on their hands and they're like, what can we put on the multicade to make it more thematically appropriate?
Is maybe there a snow game on here?
And Snow Bros is on like every single multicade board, right. It feels like.
It's Snow Bros. For the life of me, I knew it wasn't Ice Climbers, but I kept thinking Ice Climbers.
It looks kind of like Ice Climbers, but it's definitely not Ice Climbers. Right. I think it might. Maybe it's Snow Bros.
And if you hear that, that's the sound of everybody turning off this podcast. Nobody cares but us, but that's okay.
No, it's not Snow Bros. I don't think it's Snow Bros. It doesn't look like Snow Bros.
But not just those two, you know, items, and not just those two arcade cabinets, but also Kevin has a gigantic, like 12 screen giant TV. Big screen
with
TV.
Multi-display TV. It's like the TV from Back to the Future Part 2.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking of, yeah.
With the big one in the middle.
Yep. But here is where we're finally introduced to the villain of this film. It's It's French Stewart showing up out of absolutely nowhere. And we discover that this is, in fact, Marv from the original films, now played by French Stewart. Great. And I reading up on this, I found out that they asked Daniel Stern to return for this film, and he immediately turned them down and said the idea was garbage.
Good on him.
So good for him. But instead of Harry, Marv has basically like criminally emancipated himself from Harry, because now he's working with his wife, named Vera, played by Missy Pyle. And so, yeah, we got two bumbling goofs hanging around the house, scoping the place out. And their plan is they know the royal family's coming to this house. They're going to kidnap the prince and hold him for ransom.
But Joseph, how do they know the prince is coming?
They must have an inside man working at the house.
Because the first time they go in to scope it out, we see them use a remote to get into the house.
Right, right. So they've got some kind of means of access to the house. And, of course, you know, Kevin is there all alone.
Except for the staff
who are not responsive, and Kevin has to dispatch them as only Kevin can by immediately flooding his bathroom, bedroom,
and the main foyer of the house.
Yeah, it gets completely annihilated by a flood of water, and Marv and Vera they see that Kevin is there, and Marv is beside himself, and he kind of just stomps off, and that's the end of that.
But Kevin does a little investigating and finds out that Prescott had deleted all of the surveillance footage from the time of the home invasion.
Very dun, dun, interesting. Dun. Prescott has, you know, the surveillance station in his living quarters, and the tape has been erased.
What could it mean? And he's calling for Prescott on the intercom the entire time during the invasion.
Right. Nobody comes to his aid.
Correct.
And of course, so you get the sitcom sort of comedy of errors where nobody believes Kevin when he says that there were burglars in the house. And, you know, his dad thinks he's just trying to start trouble. And Natalie thinks he's just trying to get between him and his dad, get between her and his dad. And everybody just kind of hates Kevin again, because this is Home Alone we're talking about here.
Because that's what you do in Home Alone. You hate Kevin.
Right. Everybody hates Kevin.
Everybody hates Kevin. So they proceed to clean up the mess, and nobody believes Kevin, and he's already on thin ice, mister.
Mm-hmm.
All the while, Natalie, there's a kind of a B-plot going on where, of course, Kevin's dad and mom are both kind of having second thoughts about the whole thing. And all the while, Natalie is kind of buying off Kevin with all of these expensive gifts that he keeps getting to open before Christmas. He gets a big RC plane, he gets a spy kit. Both of these will be used for japes further along.
Of course.
Because this is a Home Alone movie. And it sort of works, but not really. The next sort of, is the dinner party before or after Kevin's mom shows up?
I think it's before she shows up.
Okay, yeah.
Because I thought the dinner party was going to be like the big like finale of the film, but no,
it's
smack in the middle of the film. And I'm like, why is there 30 minutes left?
Oh, there's more than 30 minutes. Oh, after the dinner party.
After the dinner party. Yes. Why are there 30 minutes left?
Yes. This one thing we haven't touched on is the pacing in this movie is glacial.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's very odd. Like, there's like three separate instances of home invasion, and it kind of goes in fits and starts, and where you're like, oh man, here we go. And then it just kind of ends after one caper.
Right. He kicks him out of the house once, and they come back, and he kicks him out of the house again, and they come back. Like, it's stop and start kind of affair.
And I wonder if they did that because it's a TV movie.
Maybe. Like, maybe they did make this assuming that it was going to be watched as, like, three episodes of TV.
or be broken up by commercial breaks, and they wanted to keep people's interest. So that's why you have to have a little bit of caper and not right. front load it with exposition, maybe.
Yeah, like something important has to happen every 10 minutes, and then after that you have to reiterate what just happened. That's possible.
Which they kind of do.
Yeah, they kind of do.
I think we sussed out why the pacing on this movie is so not good.
Right, because they're trying to cater to a TV audience. That makes a lot of sense, yes. actually.
Yes.
Not that it excuses it. It's just now I understand why.
Yeah.
But one of the crucial scenes in the middle of this film is that, you know, to smooth things over with Kevin and Natalie, Dad decides, like, hey, let's all decorate the Christmas tree together. And they decorate the Christmas tree like a family would. And then the next morning, they wake up and discover that Natalie has brought in professionals to completely redo the Christmas tree. Which is a huge no-no, because if you know anything about Kevin McAllister, he's very particular about Christmas and Christmas trees.
Yes.
And, like, that's a family tradition, and she ruined it.
She definitely did. And she says it's because she had a standing appointment with the tree decorators, but Kevin's not buying it.
She could just as, yeah, like, I'm not buying it. It's like, no, you're becoming a part of this family. You do what their traditions dictate. Like, don't mess this up. Yeah. Don't mess this yes. up for them.
Yes. So we get to the night that the royal family is due to arrive, and the house is all a twitter with activity. There are caterers setting up, Mr. Prescott's all over the place, Mary's all over the place, everybody's got something to do, and Natalie wants this night to go perfectly, she reminds Kevin. But it also turns out that half of the Wet Bandits and his plus one are part of the catering staff. Mr. Prescott lets them into the house.
Right. Which is suspicious.
It is very suspicious. And Kevin realizes what is going on, and he puts the kibosh on it again. Okay.
All right, here we go.
So he locks Mr. Prescott in a freezer.
Yep.
I mean, it's a children's movie. I can't be this guy, can I?
These are cartoons, but I'm for the sake of the pod, I'm asking you to do this for me, please.
Okay. He does it, and Mr. Prescott gets frozen into an ice sculpture, which yeah. breaks later in the evening. But like, there's catering, like earlier in the same scene, there's like 20 catering staff in the kitchen. And the walk-in freezer has a window on it, and somebody would need something from the freezer at some point. Like, it's bad. It's a bad joke. I know it's a children's movie, but you got come on. But
the ice sculpture falls over at the end of the party, and Prescott falls out, and I'm like, what? Excuse me? Because
it's probably one of the weirdest things in this movie.
Right.
It's like this like, man would be dead. This man is dead, essentially.
Yes. Like I know the Home Alone series traffics in like wacky cartoon shenanigans, but like this man would be dead.
Yes. Also, he wouldn't be frozen solid in the space of an hour and 30 minutes.
No.
But anyhow, so Marv and Vera's plan is to wait in Kevin's bedroom with a bag. Like, that's their plan. Even though Kevin is staying in that bedroom, they never really make it clear. I guess they just assume where the prince is staying, but you would think the inside man would have an idea of where they're actually supposed to be staying.
This is true, yeah. Like, it's the kids' room. You know, it's
so
they just go to the kid's room, assuming that's where he's going to be. And like, this could not be more cartoony. Like the only way this could be more cartoony is if Marv just put out a little bowl of food that said like Prince Feed or something.
Free Prince Feed.
Yeah.
So Kevin gets wind of this and he chases after them. And Marv puts this hook on the door that he's attached the bag to, and he has Vera test out the bag, and we get treated to the one like mid-tier jape in this entire movie. There's one other one that's decent.
Yeah,
but both of them, Kevin just kind of lucks into them. Like, they're not planned.
Right, like the one kind of good, like, pratfall in the movie.
Yes. Yeah. The one that actually made, like, a good Home Alone trap will, like, kind of make you wince for whoever it's being inflicted upon.
Right. Yeah, like,
it's... Like, the first movie's full of those, and the second movie is, too. This is the only one that made me go, like, oh.
It's like, true, like, slapstick comedy in the classic sense, where you're, like, you're not sure if that actually hurt the performer or not.
Yeah. So he puts, like, this trident hook thing, like, this grappling hook underneath the door, and Kevin just uses the voice command to open the door while Vera's weighing down the bag out the window, and the hook just, like, flies and hits Marv in the back of the legs and, like, sinks into him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets pulled out of the window, and the window breaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not bad, but my one note is Kevin could easily have just opened the door. He didn't have to use the remote control.
Well, they do it throughout the entire movie. Nobody touches a door in this movie. Everybody uses the voice commands.
So, like...
It's maddening. It's because, like, there are chase scenes where people are using, like, the door commands. It's dumb.
Right, and like, multiple people have the remote controls, and multiple people are shouting, door open, door close. And I'm just imagining, like, the multiple remotes, like, malfunctioning because they're getting too much input at once, and just the door slamming wide open and shut repeatedly.
Right.
Like, if you're gonna go cartoony with this, and it's Home Alone, you might as well go full cartoony with it, you know?
Right.
Like don't half-ass it just because you're doing it for TV. Like, no, we all know what we're doing here. Just here we are now, entertain us.
I will say this. I think the central, like, piece de resistance trap in this movie does involve the smart home. I don't think it's very good, and I think there's a lot of missed potential with, like, the smart home stuff.
Yeah.
That they don't even get into in this movie. Because Kevin just lucks into the one with the hook.
Right.
And that's the only one that he uses, like, the smart home commands to activate any of it.
Mm-hmm.
All the rest are still manual traps, except for the last one.
Well, I guess let's go straight to the... First of all, let's go to the twist before we get to the last trap.
All right.
Because the final confrontation between Kevin and the burglars.
Sorry. just to give a little context.
Yes.
What little plot there is between that and where we're going. The royal family gets snowed in on their flight in, and so they won't be able to make it until Christmas Day, the next day. And so the final confrontation is set up Christmas Day when Kevin is truly home alone with the staff yet again, who he thinks, you know, he suspects Prescott of being the inside man, and he thinks Mary is on his side.
But again, I have to stop because, like, you just said something. At no point in this film is Kevin ever actually home alone.
No.
Because he has the wait staff there. You know, whether or not they're going to pay attention to him is one thing, but, like, he's never actually home alone. And I feel like, again, that was a function of, like, well, this is a TV movie and we can't just have a kid be in mortal peril. We have to have adults nearby just in case. But
I guess.
So Kevin thinks that Prescott is in on this plan. So Kevin lures him to the basement and locks him in there, only to discover that when Marv and Vera do break into the house, their inside man is still there to apprehend Kevin. Oh, it's Molly who is the inside man.
Who is Marv's mother.
Marv's mother has infiltrated Natalie's house as a maid.
Yes.
So that's how Marv knows that the royal family is coming to visit.
It all makes sense now. And then we get a little exposition dump that Prescott turns off the cameras to take a nap whenever Natalie is not home because he's overworked and dissatisfied with his job.
And no one can blame him for that, to be perfectly honest.
Right.
This is a case where, like, Kevin, this or rather Prescott is the adult in the movie that Kevin has to befriend and make peace with in order to save the day at the end.
Yes.
It's like they at least went that far, you know, to have that character in the movie.
Yes.
Small favors.
So they get trapped in the wine cellar. Kevin tries calling his mom, and the cell phone that they're using runs out of battery and cuts out. She knows something's up. She heads back. Kevin's dad is in the limousine with Natalie to go pick up the royal family. He thinks something is up because Kevin's mom called him. He takes a cab back from the airport immediately. Where do you think this is going? Surprise, surprise. Anyhow, Prescott helps Kevin ride the dumbwaiter up into the house. And Kevin had set a bunch of traps prior to getting locked in the basement because he knew that Marv was coming back. Kevin, at this point, I think still doesn't know that there's a plan to burgle or to kidnap the prince.
Right. I don't think he knows this yet.
He thinks they're just going to burglarize the home.
Which makes sense because, like, they've done it, you know, twice to him already. So that must be what he's here to do.
Right. I think another big, before we get into, like, the main caper, I think maybe one of this movie's biggest failings, aside from the fact that he's never truly home alone, is that it's not really his house.
Yeah.
And it doesn't set, the stakes are not the same as in the first movie. Because, you know, Kevin's not only trying to preserve himself, he's, like, trying to keep his sense of home in place, because, you know, it's a violation to have your home broken into.
Right. And,
you know, when you're a little kid, that's important. That just doesn't exist here. He's a guest in this, like, ginormous palatial house.
Right.
The stakes are not nearly as high, and that, like, there's no real emotional connection to this house. I just wanted to mention that.
No, it makes the subtitle of the movie, Taking Back the House, meaningless, because this was never Kevin's house in the first place.
That's why I was surprised that that was the subtitle, which I never saw for some reason.
It's kind of like how the fact that Home Alone 5 is called The Holiday Heist is weird, because, like, all of them have been holiday heists.
Yes.
While we're on the subject of, like, titles and stuff, if you try to look this movie up on IMDb like I did, you will probably not find it. Looking up Home Alone 4 brings up a completely different film titled Home Alone 4 that has nothing to do with the Home Alone franchise. Home Alone 4, released in 2020.
What?
Yeah. Let's see. It's a short film. It's a horror film, but I don't know how or why it's called Home Alone 4. But if you're looking for Home Alone 4, Taking Back the House, you have to search for it under The Wonderful World of Disney, Season 47, Episode 1, Home Alone 4, The Holiday Heist. I mean,
so you're saying this should be a stocking stuffer, is what you're saying. No, I'm just kidding.
The longest stocking stuffer ever.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
This is a full length movie. This is what? An hour and 25 minutes?
Yeah. Yeah. Feature length. But I just wanted to point that out because, like, searching for Home Alone 4 on IMDb is kind of a crapshoot now because people can just name their short films whatever they want.
As is their right.
I mean, I'm not against it. I'm just saying it's making search engines really janky.
Yeah. That's true.
Anyway.
Anyhow,
so let's wrap this thing up. How does this thing end?
So we get into the main caper. Prescott sends Kevin up in the dumbwaiter, and the first and final good trap occurs, where he rides the dumbwaiter further up into the house because he knows that Marv and Vera are coming, and then he yells down the dumbwaiter, you know, "Hey, Marv, I'm here. Come get me, you big dummy." And then he rides the dumbwaiter down onto his head.
Right.
And then climbs out, and then Vera tries to get him out. She hits the down button, crushing his head further, hits the up button, and his hand gets crushed. It's, again, something Kevin lucks into, and the only other, I would argue, mid-tier jape, caper, trap in this movie. Mm-hmm. Everything else is really boilerplate, and it's really disappointing. But
It's so uncreative is my main complaint. You
all
know?
Of the traps?
All the traps are so uncreative.
Let's see. What else do we have? We're in the kitchen. He has a pot that's on a rope. He unties it. It hits Marv. It hits Vera. Everybody gets a turn. And then he gets chased by Molly into the elevator, and he's got a hook on the elevator so that it gets stuck in between floors.
That just seems like a code violation of some kind.
Yeah,
I don't know about that one, but the first one, you know, when Marv and Vera first get into the house and like they're in the bedroom and then the bathroom, and he like cranks up the super high intensity shower heads to the point where it completely floods the house.
Eh. Are we gonna do it? Are we gonna rate every single trap?
I don't want to. No, don't make me.
Okay. All right. Well, we've already talked about them, and yes, they are all like low tier to mid tier at best.
And the absolute final trap is maybe the worst one. The least creative one,
it's
because
lame as hell.
Because eventually, everybody convenes on the house. Mom and Dad and Natalie. They all make it to the house just in time to discover that Kevin is there with these two criminals. And Kevin leads Marv and Vera outside, and Buzz and Megan are there to tackle them. And
are you counting that as the last yeah, trap?
The very last thing, because he leads them outside, and then Buzz and Megan trip them onto the ground. Like,
yeah, and it's a callback to like the first scene of the movie, and
it's like I don't want to see the whole family getting in on this wacky escapade. Like, that's not what Home Alone is.
No, it's not. Let me think. Some of the other ones. So he traps Molly, so she's out of the game. Then he goes into the kid's bedroom, and he has a fake pair of shoes under the bed. They pull it, and it makes a bookcase fall over onto Marv. It's lame. The next one, he flies the RC plane into Marv's nuts.
Sure. Okay. Like, I'm surprised that hadn't happened sooner, but okay.
4 out of 10, 3 out of 10, maybe. I don't know.
3 out of 10, maybe. This is so bad, just because like none of them are interesting.
It's so boilerplate. Like, there's no hot doorknob. There's no icy step. Like, not like even if they had played the hits and like. You could repeat one, a good one, and I wouldn't. I'd probably be mad about it, actually. But I don't know. Everything here is just so blah compared to, and it might be because it's a TV movie again, and things were. I mean, they still played Home Alone on the TV, and they had all the traps back then. But
right, but like then you get granular into like, well, what Home Alone things do they keep, and what do they leave out, like. You know, there's a quote unquote touching scene where Mom and Kevin are on the phone and they're watching It's a Wonderful Life together. Like, okay, so they got It's a Wonderful Life in there, which I kind of appreciate. But like, there's no scene where Kevin, you know, tries to taunt the criminals by saying like, "Come and get me before I call the cops" or something. You know?
Yeah. Oh, that reminds me of one of the other traps where he had recorded Marv's voice. And then, like, spliced it up to make Vera mad. It's very...
Because he had the talk boy in Home Alone 2.
Yeah.
You know?
It's derivative and not very good.
I feel like what we're coming around to is, like, something that most of us have felt since Home Alone 2 came out is any one of us could have written a better Home Alone 3 than the 4 Home Alone 3s we got. And like, all, you know, every 90s kid has a better set of traps up in his head than anything that any of those other movies could create.
I can't even remember what 3 had. 3 had also like the RC car, like the transforming RC car or whatever. Was 3 the one with the icy pool?
I think it was. Yeah. Yeah.
And then 6 had the icy trampoline, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Where like. He detached all the springs and they just fell through the trampoline. Isn't that right?
Right. I think. So like the sixth one, like they at least knew.
The traps were okay in 6. Like they were much better than this for sure.
An attempt was made is what we're saying.
Yes, but like, you not know, so much here.
Not so much here. The fifth one, we'll see also our old episode about the fifth one. But it's just, it's so tired at this point.
Here's the thing about this movie, is it fails on both fronts for Home Alone. Because the adults watch it for, I guess, kids trying to be adult jokes, which it fails on. And holiday schmaltz, which it doesn't do particularly well.
Right.
And then kids are watching it for the, like, weird fantasy of you know, defending their own home and then home invasion through traps of their own design, as specific as that fantasy is.
Sure. Yeah.
It fails on all those fronts.
It's a complete and utter failure as a feature film, as a Home Alone film, as television even.
Yeah.
It's and just, yeah,
it's bad. And you know how this movie ends.
The family gets
mom and dad. Yeah,
the family comes together. Mom and dad get back together. Everyone has a Merry Christmas. Like, okay,
yeah,
whatever.
Okay, good job. You did it. You did what everybody. I mean, yeah, you did what was required of you.
It did what it said on the tin.
You filled 5 pages double spaced and turned it in before the end, before the assignment was due.
Right.
Oh,
you got a C for effort, but. This was a bad time, guys. Like, I don't know
this was a really bad time. We watch a lot of bad movies on this show, but usually they have at least something interesting going on.
Right.
In some regard, like so bad it's good, or at least there's some like grain there or some redeeming quality.
Yeah, I mean,
I can't come up with any on this one.
Even thinking back to like, okay, when we covered Home Alone 6, you know, there was an idea there and there was an angle that we were kind of interested in talking about. There's just no angle here. It's just, let's try to do a Home Alone again about the McAllisters. Why? Oh, I don't know. That's just who people want to see. They didn't like Home Alone 3 that much. And it's just a miscalculation on so many levels. It's filler. It's filler.
That's all it is.
This is probably why we never got around to covering Home Alone 4 before now, because I think in the back of our heads, we were just like, there's no way this could possibly be any good. And it's worse than we expected.
It's much worse than I expected, honestly.
Really? So that's as good an opportunity as any. Let's jump straight to the crankometer and score this puppy.
Yeah.
Folks, the crankometer is our patented XY-axis where we rate Christmas movies. The X-axis is the Christmas quotient, and the Y-axis is the quality quotient. So, Brad, X-axis, how Christmassy? We haven't really talked about Christmas that much in this episode, but how Christmassy is Home Alone 4?
On its own merits, a little bit. But if you think about how iconic and how much the first two movies kind of nail the essence of Christmas time and the Christmas spirit and everything like that, there's just not a lot of that going on here.
No.
And it probably has something to do with like the fact that it's set in like a big sterile house away from Kevin's home is probably part of it, away from his family more or less, except for his dad, who's, you know, intentionally absent throughout most of the movie. It's not very Christmassy. There's not a lot of Christmas music. The trapping, like there's the tree and the presents, but like other than that, I don't know.
Yeah, this is a real waste of the season and a real waste of the potential of Home Alone. So I'm gonna say this is at least a -3.
Oh wow, yeah, I was thinking more like a 2, but yeah. They at the beginning of the movie, I noticed there's no snow on the ground, and they comment on it that it's an unseasonably warm Christmas, and it's supposed to be part of the theme of like, oh, it's, you know, it's a weird Christmas for everybody because the McAllisters are separated and there's no snow, but like, you know, they just did that so they could have an excuse for filming in late October, early November.
Brad.
Not have to put snow on the ground.
Brad, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
Where do you think they filmed this movie?
Did they film it in Georgia?
Because I'll tell you, it's not Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, I figured that much.
Cape Town, South Africa.
Wait, really?
That's what IMDb says.
So it got the One Piece treatment?
I guess. I don't know what that means, but I guess.
the recent Netflix One Piece series, surprisingly good, by the way, like against all odds.
Yes, I caught the first episode. It's interesting, at least.
Was filmed in South. It was a South African production.
I gotcha. Yeah.
Anyhow, Cape Town, South Africa is where they filmed this.
Yeah.
Never would have guessed.
Which is especially surprising considering, you know, I don't even think Disney made this, because I know this appeared on, you know, ABC and on a Disney network. I don't think this was a Disney production.
Yeah,
it had to be. It had to still have been a Fox production because they owned Home Alone at the time. So I was like, I was thinking, like, why didn't they just film it this at like a Disney studio? Well, that's probably why. But still, like, this feels like a Disney backlot kind of movie.
Absolutely. Like, there's very few outdoor scenes. We have interior McAllister house, interior Natalie's house.
Right.
And a scene at the airport, which is probably just green screened in.
Basically, yeah. I mean, whatever house they filmed at, you know, there's a couple of scenes of Kevin hanging out in the front yard and Marv and his lady hanging out in the driveway. That's really all you get. There's no locations in this movie at all.
Does that explain why the prince at the very end had like the weirdest accent I've ever heard in my entire life and I could not place it?
Right, because they were very cagey about where this family was from, because it clearly was not like, you know, the British royal family.
Right, right.
I don't know.
I guess they pulled some like kid who's maybe it's an Afrikaans accent or something.
Oh, maybe so. Maybe so.
I don't know. Anyhow.
Yeah, that's the least of our concerns. Yeah, you're right. Like, this doesn't really misuse anything, but it's just such a waste of the Home Alone, like, brand, I guess. And that's what offends me.
Yeah, it's wasted potential on a lot of fronts. And granted, it's a made-for-TV movie, but, like, you could have done so much better.
Yeah.
Negative three?
I'm going to say -3, yeah.
Yeah.
Then quality-wise, like... Are we going to give this a -5?
I think so, because like this was not a fun time.
No, this was dire. Like, I was watching the clock waiting for this to end.
Yeah.
And I don't ever want to watch this again. Like, it kind of puts me off Home Alone a little bit, to be honest.
Right?
Like, yeesh.
-4 at least, I would say.
Yeah, like I'm going to be generous here in the spirit of the season and say, let's say a -4, because there's nothing that it doesn't do anything so offensive that I have to give it a -5. It's just
right.
It's just right. So straight down the middle, boring, made for TV pap. And like, there's no life to it at all.
No redeeming qualities whatsoever.
No, but it's also like, not like, in your face, aggressively bad. So let's say a -4, I guess.
I think that's fair.
A -3, -4 is where we're landing on Home Alone 4. That sounds about right. Yeah, I'm okay with this. So Bradford, how you feeling about the onset of Home for the Horror Days coming up?
Honestly, I'm excited.
Yeah,
because it means that we're not watching Home Alone 4. Literally, I'm excited to watch and talk about literally any movie but the one that we're talking about this week.
Right. And so we may have to reconvene here in a week and just to watch something just to get the stink out of our mouths.
A little bit of a palate cleanser.
A little bit of a palate cleanser.
Are we calling our shots for Home for the Horror Days or no?
Not yet, because I'm still trying to line up a couple things that I still want to get us a good guest or two. But you know, while the colors and the leaves are changing and the seasons are about to shift, I think now's a pretty good time. You know what we should watch and talk about?
What?
We should watch and talk about Over the Garden Wall.
Yes.
Because like I know we're a Christmas show, but you know, it can't be Christmas all the time. And this is a show that I've just recently discovered, and I'm kind of sad that I sat on it for so long.
It's I love it.
I could easily like just start talking about it now, but we're running long, so we should get going.
Yeah, just to give you an idea, yeah, it's so good. It's one of the best fall sort of things.
Yeah,
back when my daughter was very little, sometimes I for a diaper change song I would use potatoes and molasses. So just to give you an idea of the affection that I hold for that series. Yeah, we could talk about this at length, and yes, I could start talking about this right now, so we need to stop.
We need to stop, because like that's going to be it for us, so we're definitely doing this next time. We were calling the shot, and I feel pretty confident about it, so come back next time, when we'll talk about Over the Garden Wall, before we get into Home for the Horror Days. So until then, if you have any questions or comments, you want to talk to us about anything, come find us on Blue Sky or Twitter, wherever you want to find us, at Christmas Creeps. Or Facebook. We're still using Facebook. But also, our Discord channel is the best place to come find us. So we will leave a link to that in our show notes. And I implore you to come join our Discord.
Join us, won't you? We have a lot of fun.
We do. And also, you know, xmascreeps@gmail.com. You can email us there anytime you like. Our email inbox has been pretty light lately, folks. So I'd love to read some listener mail on the show. Hint, hint, wink, wink. Anything I'm missing, Brad, before we go?
No, thank you so much for listening. I know this probably was, well, maybe it was fun for you, but certainly wasn't fun for us. But this is how we suffer for you.
We suffer for our art, so thank you.
We suffer for our art, so thank you for tuning in. I think you covered it. I think you got it.
All right, folks. Well, I hope everyone enjoys these waning days of summer, and come back next time when we'll talk about some really cool spooky fall things.
Yeah.
Good evening. Good night, everybody. Have a wonderful week.
Good night.
Happy Christmas.